Hello, Florecitas. Welcome to the Miranda Writes podcast.
I'm Crystal.
I'm Vanessa.
We have the right to remain silent.
But we probably won't.
Hi, mujer.
Hi, comadre. How was your week, Florecita?
It was busy.
Mm-hmm.
Busy? Yeah, it was pretty busy. And then the AC went out yesterday.
Oh, my God. I know. That was a nightmare.
And, like, three times this week, our power has gone out because the storms.
I know.
Like, what the?
I know. Yeah, you've had a pretty.
Pretty busy week.
Eventful week.
Yes, I have. Yeah. Kind of. And then I went to go. I don't know who I was doing. I was sending somebody a picture. I was trying to send somebody a picture.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, let me send it to you. And then like I go, and you know how it pops up all the pictures?
Oh, like, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
I'll show you like what you can
like
select.
Your gallery.
Yeah, like your gallery. All I see are like dead bodies.
Oh my
and
God.
And I was like, oh shit.
Well, we know
good
what
times,
to take
good
when,
times.
If something happens to you. Don't look at her phone.
Do not look at my phone. Throw my phone. Get rid of it. Do something. They're going to think I'm a serial killer or something.
Bet.
Or like I'm Ed Gein. I'm obsessed with dead bodies.
I know. For real.
So, yeah. And then I was going to tell you something else too and I forgot. How was your week?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was busy. It was busy, but just not really with work, just busy, like,
just
in general.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
It has been very eventful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, so, I'm going to dig into this one right here.
Let's hear it.
Okay. This is actually, I know we said no more local cases, but it was a suggestion.
Yes, it was.
And it was actually one of our really good friends has suggested it. When we first started doing the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And so it was the Florecita OG.
The Florecita OG. Which
one?
Do you want to
say her Florecita
name?
Or?
You don't want to say her name?
It was a comadre. Low.
Oh, comadre. Hi, Florecita Low.
Yes, he's the OG Florecita.
I was like, which one?
So he actually...
He is an OG philosopher.
Yeah, suggested this case. And then somebody else that I would rather not give recognition to.
Oh my God, that would be so funny if we did though. So, yeah, we won't say, but it
yeah.
was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious how
and
that
I was
came
like,
about.
Write that down. You're yes. like, no.
I was like, screw to her. But, all right, let's dig in. So, I called this Murder and Meth in Maricopa.
Oh, that's cute,
yes.
Murder and Meth.
So, for y'all that don't know, Maricopa is obviously in Arizona, which is like 30 minutes from where we're at right
really?
Now.
Really? I thought it was like 20.
No.
It's
well,
further?
I guess it just depends on which,
yeah.
which area you go to.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So actually not far at all from here.
No, and it's in Pinal County.
Yeah, it's considered in Pinal County. So, today's case suggestion is about a local couple mm-hmm. by the name of Michael and Tina Correchia.
Correchia.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Maricopa, Arizona.
Uh-huh. Maricopa, Arizona.
Which I just said, yeah, is literally like down the road.
Yeah.
So
literally.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael and Tina were a cute couple in their early to mid-40s.
Oh, they were... Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought they were in their 30s.
So, if you hear me say Mike or Michael, it's the same person,
yeah.
okay? Mike was a 44-year-old United Airline pilot by day and puro pinche party guy by night.
Really? He worked for the airlines?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. He's like... Remember that movie with Denzel where he
Denzel.
Oh my God, I love him. But you know how he like he's like puro pinche party, he's like drunk, he's high on coke, and he has like I think he took like some pills or something, I don't know. Mm. Then he lands that fucking plane and he fucking saves all those people, but he's under investigation.
Cause... Are you sure that's Denzel or
yes.
Tom Hanks?
No, it's Denzel. Look it up. Really okay. quick. When you're done.
Okay, yeah. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
So anyways, at this moment, Mike was actually on medical leave from his job.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Why? During this time frame.
Why? Does it say?
Yeah, okay. It does.
Actually,
Mike was injured in a wood shop incident in which he had severely cut his hand and lost feeling in some of his fingertips, which is why he had to take time off from flying.
Well, that makes sense because you need your hands to fly, right?
Yeah, to finger bang the controls and such.
Finger bang the controls.
Finger bang the pilot controls and shit.
And the stewardesses.
Yeah, and the sugar nips. So Tina, his wife, was a 43-year-old accountant for a Mesa construction company.
Was she now?
Oh, she was. So he would finger bang the controls and she would finger bang the numbers. Oh, crap. Hold on. I just put something to the bottom of the...
Oh, shit. Can you undo that?
Yes, I can. Okay. But I don't know if it'll move it back up. Okay, I'll just reference back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So this couple seemed like an average all-American middle-aged couple.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Tina were actually high school sweethearts.
No.
Yes, comadre.
So they met in high school?
No. Yes, they
You're
did.
You're like, yes, that would consist of meeting in high school and being together in high school.
Yes. So, as fate would have it, that's where I missed my little thing right there.
Okay.
So let's rewind a little bit. Okay. So they were actually high school sweethearts. Mm-hmm. As we all know, life happens, right?
Yes.
They broke up and went their separate ways after high school.
Yeah.
They both went on to marry other people and they also had children.
With other people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But... as fate would have it, about a year prior to June of 2015, they reunited. Reunited, and it feels so good. So anyways, they reunited and they got married. Skills.
Did they now?
Yeah, they did. They had a beautiful wedding on the beach.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So they were a blended family, if you will.
I will.
I have.
I'm going to.
I plan on it. So altogether, they had 5 children. Mike had 2 sons from his previous marriage, and Tina had 2 sons and a daughter from her previous marriage.
Okay. It's a lot of testosterone in that house.
Bet. Mm-hmm. A lot of D's flying around in there. So, Mike and Tina were building a home on a lot they had purchased in Maricopa next to Mike's sister's house.
Okay.
So, just a little tidbit information here. Pay attention. There's going to be a test.
Sidebar.
Mm-hmm. Mike and Tina... hired an electrical contractor by the name of Jose to do some electrical work in their new home.
Jose. Jesus? Was
it? Not Jesus. Jose.
Jose.
Yeah. Jose.
Not Juan.
Yeah.
Not Jesus. Jose.
At this point, the couple had a lot of great things going on in their lives, right?
Okay.
New marriage, such new as. Family, new home. It's better. It's just better. That is until death decided to force its way into the Correggia's lives.
So his last name was Correggia.
Yes.
Well, duh, because they were married, but...
No.
So, was he Italian? That sounds like a...
That's what I thought, too, because...
Italian name.
Exactly. And the way that it's spelled is Carecciia.
Oh, yeah. That's like an Italian name, yeah. Sounds like.
That's what I thought, too.
No?
He didn't look... Well, I guess. I don't know. He was cute, though. I didn't think he looked Italian, but then how do Italian people look? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
But because he looked like a white guy.
Yeah, Italian.
But he did have dark hair and like olive skin kind of.
That would be like Italian.
He was good looking, though.
Like a Sebastian. He has dark hair. He's kind of olive skinned.
Yeah. He's short. Not that cute. Yeah, he's no, short. But he's short, but this guy, he's really good looking. So was Tina. Yeah. She was really good looking pretty. Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right up until Death decided to force its way into the Carecci's lives.
Hmm. Okay.
So, Monday, June 22nd, 2015 began like any other hot ass, swassy ass summer day in Maricopa, Arizona. If you don't know what swassy means, it's sweaty, salty ass and pussy. Wait, swassy.
That's pussy's not in it. Oh, okay, that makes sense. You didn't use the P for pussy.
I did not.
Okay, you used the SSY. Swassy. The SSY from pussy.
Exactly.
I get it.
Genius.
That is genius. Yeah, it's really hot here. It's like super hot.
Yeah. In June, we're well into over 100 degree weather over here. Yeah. So.
Yeah. June, July, and August are the worst months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we're hitting record-breaking temperatures, like 130.
Yeah, like last Saturday it was like 115.
Mm-hmm. It's reached, I think it was like 118, huh, like 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I hear it's supposed to be, again, record temps this coming week. Mm-hmm. So, we've been like on a heat advisory for the last 3 minutes. So, anyway.
Who wants to live here? People that are sinners.
Yeah, I just love the heat. Like, yep. Even though it's still scorching ass hot outside, I love taking hot showers. Me still, too. Anyways.
It's because we're probably Satan's spawns.
Yeah. That's why I would not doubt that.
That's why we live in the desert.
That's why we live here. We haven't left. Mm-hmm. So, just so we're clear. Monday, June 22nd, 2015 began like any other hot, swassy summer day in Maricopa, Arizona. Unfortunately for the Carecchia couple, it wasn't a normal day.
Oh, it wasn't?
Mm-mm.
Why wasn't it?
Tina failed to appear to her job the morning of Monday, June 22nd, 2015.
Oh, my God.
By 7:16 p.m. on June 22nd, that same day, Michael's 17-year-old son called 911 and reported both his dad and Tina as missing. He told the 911 operator that neither Mike or Tina had returned home and their phones were off.
Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm. At 10:09 p.m., Michael's 2008 Honda Accord was found completely covered in dirt near Ralston and Papago Road, about half a mile from the couple's home.
Is that close to the reservation?
I don't think so. It said it was in close to Thunderbird Farms subdivision.
Okay, I don't know
that. Yeah, I don't either. And I was going to look it up, but I didn't. Unfortunately, the couple was nowhere to be found.
So they found the car, but not the couple.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The last time family members saw Michael and Tina alive was the night before at 9 p.m., June 21st, 2015, which was actually Father's Day.
Oh, man.
No.
No.
What? So, the Carecchia's family and friends searched for their loved ones for a whole entire week to no avail.
Oh, my God.
And I'm telling you, it was like triple-digit weather searching like through that freaking desert.
115, 112, 110. Yes. 118 possibly. Yes, it's hot. It's hot here.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
We feel at home.
Yeah. We're just like, oh. We meditate in that shit. No, I'm just kidding. We become one with the earth. Man, what the hell?
With hell.
Anyways, according to Michael's cell phone records, he made several calls to Jose between 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. the night before on June 21st, 2015.
So on Sunday.
Father's Day. Yes.
Now, on Father's Day between 9 and 11.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha. Now, mija.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory, mija. For those of you that didn't pay attention earlier, Jose is the electrical
contractor. Yes, electrical contractor, yes. Okay. Not Juan, not Jesus, Jose. Jose. Yes.
Almost immediately, within 24 hours, the police decided to interview Jose Ignacio Valenzuela.
Oh, that was his name?
Age 38. All those names, mija.
These Mexicans and their damn names.
I know.
Don't get offended. We're Mexican. We could say that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. So the police decided to interview him within 24 hours.
Oh, crap.
Jose became the lead suspect in this case.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say the lead singer. I was like, the lead singer to what?
Singing his damn life away, hell. Oh, he's saying all right. So, according to PCSO,
Pinal County Sheriff's Office,
mm-hmm.
for those of you who don't know.
Right. Although they had been to Jose's property one time, they were basically playing a cat and mouse game with Jose.
PCSO was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sheriff Babu was the sheriff then, right?
Babu was the sheriff. Babu was a sheriff, yeah, okay. Yes. Yes, mijita linda. He was. So Jose was refusing to speak to detectives and answer any questions they had.
Oh, he was exercising his Miranda rights.
He sure was, mija.
Which you guys should all pay attention. There's gonna be a test on that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, well, I thought you had something to add to that.
No, I'm just saying, like, you have to pay attention to stuff like that. There's going to be a test.
That's true.
He didn't speak, so he exercised his Miranda rights.
That is true, mija.
Listen to what we're saying, because you might end up with something free, like a letter or something. I'm just kidding.
Something free. Is that what you said?
Like a letter from us thanking you for listening. A sticker, perhaps.
A sticker. You can put it on your nipples, on your sugar nips.
We don't have anything to give away. I'm just saying that.
Okay, so, Anyways, okay. So, on July 1st, 2015, Jose finally spoke to police and made some questionable statements to the police.
So, he finally decided to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He decided. And that was when, did you say?
July 1st, 2015.
Oh, July 1st.
So, that would have been
like a week and a half later. Mm-hmm,
like 10 days
later,
right?
Yes.
During Jose's fourth police interview, Jose admitted to murdering the couple.
What?
Execution style.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Police immediately arrested Jose after his confession.
So was PCSO talking to him? Were they interviewing him or interrogating PCSO. Him? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was like, I wasn't sure if it was PCSO or does Maricopa have a police department?
No. Mm-mm. It's
just, they do.
Oh, they probably do now.
Yeah, they do.
Because it's a little bit bigger. But I think because of the location of where
they were, it landed in PCSO jurisdiction.
Yes, it was considered Pinal County, not the city of Maricopa.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, so I think
that's why. I was like, why were they? But that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So police immediately arrested Jose after his confession. The case quickly turned from missing persons to a homicide.
Oh, shit.
Within 10 days of the investigation, police were able to obtain a search warrant to search Jose's property.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Back up. So what made him decide to finally answer questions? Just kept bugging him? They just kept, on him?
It didn't go into detail as to what was the,
What made him crack.
Yeah, what made him crack. But
they probably kept his ass there for, ever. Or
I'm sure they
probably kept bugging him.
Right.
What were you doing?
Before they were able to speak to him, he was evading them. So supposedly he wasn't home or they couldn't get a hold of him. Yeah. So I think probably they were just badgering to him finally got him.
Okay. That makes sense.
So at 3:15 p.m. On July 1st, 2015, police began searching Jose's property. So good that same
for them. Good for you.
Good for you, PCSO. At approximately 2 a.m. July 2nd, 2015, both bodies were found. So less than 24 hours later.
Oh, crap.
Yes.
What the heck?
What?
No. Less than 24 hours after he confessed, they searched his property and found the bodies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because the day he confessed, idiot. At 3:15 that afternoon, they were able to obtain that search warrant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, because I remember them finding the bodies like at night. Huh? Yeah.
It was 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So upon the discoveries of the bodies, both Tina and Michael had a gunshot wound to the head.
No.
Oh, fuck. What's happening? Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of time.
Okay. Police found the Correccia's bodies in a 6-foot grave on Jose's property.
He
actually fucking dug literal graves.
Oh my god, he was not fucking around.
Bet. I was like, what the
fuck? It was that meth.
That meth though. That's it. That you don't know me.
That meth makes you do crazy shit, man. Bet.
Mm-hmm.
I remember some people, I'm not gonna name any names to protect the innocent and the guilty.
And the guilty.
But I remember somebody would like get a toothbrush when they were on meth and clean their carpets. Do you remember that?
I must have that natural kick meth. In me because, I mean, that's what I do normally.
No, I mean, you don't have carpet, though. Like, can you imagine, like, with a toothbrush, just, like, cleaning the carpet? I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I thought I was...
They should come to my house and they can clean all the cracks and crevices.
I know, kidding. For real.
Just kidding. They'll probably steal everything that's not worth it.
Go to my house and cut down that damn tree.
They should. With the damn little shitty ass tools I had. But, after police found the bodies in the 6-foot grave.
Yes.
Police also found a .22 caliber revolver in Jose's possession.
Oh.
No.
Did they now?
Oh, they did. Which I don't even know if I'm saying that shit right. But yeah. That's what it said.
Who cares? We're not gun experts. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
Listen.
We're true crime podcasters, not gun experts.
Yes. Not firearms experts.
We're not, what was I calling that guy? The one that Jeffrey Epstein was doing his finances for. What was it? Arms dealer. We're not arms dealers.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, what is that? And you're like, isn't it like firearms? And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense.
You're like, is it somebody that has like 8 arms?
I say stupid shit like that all the time.
So the police believed Jose used the handgun to shoot both Mike and Tina in the head.
Oh, my God.
No. Shortly after Jose executed the Correccia's couple, he decided to borrow a backhoe from an acquaintance.
Oh, my God.
The acquaintance was not considered a suspect.
Yeah, because he didn't know what the hell was going on. Right. He just saw a dumbass. Like, but, yeah, go ahead and use my backhoe. I don't care.
Exactly. But, like, who the freak does that? Hey, buddy, can I ask you for a favor? Can I use your backhoe to, you know, just casually bury some bodies? What in the hell?
I'm pretty sure he didn't tell him he was going to do, or like, you know, bury bodies.
I know, but how do you approach somebody like that?
That makes sense. He was probably like, I bought a really big ass tree.
You and that tree situation. Let it go. It's cut down.
And I need a backhoe to dig a hole for it, you know? Because, you know, they sell those big trees. Remember when mom and dad bought the house on Selma?
Mm-hmm.
Dad bought those big old trees. Remember, they're in, like, those big old crates? They were huge. Remember?
I do remember that.
So he probably said that to them. Like, I have a tree.
In the middle of the night? I mean, come on.
Well, then he was probably like, it's fucking hot outside. And right now is the perfect time to do it. Because it's the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. It's not that hot.
Okay.
The backhoe, you know?
That would be some shit I would do because I totally do landscaping like at 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah, middle of the night. Yeah, we both do. We'll be like digging, out there watering trees.
Digging holes. Yeah. Moving dirt, if you will.
We don't have dead bodies in our backyard, though.
Yeah.
Or our front yard. Maybe on the side yard.
Yes. Okay, so Jose told police that he knew the couple for 2 years. They were friends.
So he knew them prior to being an electrician for their newly built custom home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He claimed they were friends.
Okay.
Jose also told police that he and the Correchias used meth together on a regular basis for the past 2 years.
Did they now?
Oh, what?
Was that confirmed by autopsy reports?
We are going to get there, okay. Mijita.
Okay. I know I'm jumping ahead. I always do that. Sorry.
It's okay. So basically... Oh, I said so basically. I meant to say Jose basically. I read that wrong. Jose basically admitted to police that he did shoot the couple in the head on Father's Day night back in June of 2015.
Okay. So Mr. Correchia, Mike, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. was calling him between 9 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he calling him for? Did he want drugs?
We're going to get into that.
Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm. However, Jose stated that he was high on meth and when he decided to shoot the couple.
Oh, that's a perfect excuse.
That's it. I'm using that next time.
I know. I was high on meth. I'm sorry. It wasn't me. It was the meth.
No.
Like, Miss Miranda, you tortured this person.
It was the meth.
It was the meth.
What I just said.
I said what I said.
Bitch, I said what I said. So, based on Jose's recollection of events,
mm-hmm.
Jose said that he was invited and attended a Father's Day get-together at the Correchia's residence the night of June 21st. 2015.
Okay.
Okay. Jose also stated that while he was at the Correchia's home, he obtained meth for Michael.
Okay.
A little while later, Jose left the gathering and went home to his house at 5669 West Papago Road in Maricopa.
Oh, we should go drive by there.
Yeah, we definitely should. Jose only lived 2 blocks away from the Correchia's home.
Oh.
No. Jose claims that Michael and Tina showed up to his home later that night to get more meth and to get high. High, high. Oh, you're both high. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Jose claims that something happened. Quote, end quote. Something happened. And he and Michael began fighting to each other and wrestling on the floor.
Well, what happened, did he say?
At that point, Jose took out a revolver and shot Michael. So Jose first shot Michael during the scuffle and then later shot Tina.
Tina didn't hear the gunshot?
Well, she was right there.
Oh.
She saw everything.
I was like, where the fuck
well, she was standing
bitch?
There. She was a witness. So, you know, you can't leave
witnesses
alive because, you know, they talk. So, yeah. So let's just not have that.
We cannot have that.
Yeah. So family members were able to identify the bodies based on tattoos on the victims.
Hmm. Were their bodies already decomp?
They couldn't
identify them. They had to identify them by.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's because of this heat. I'm telling
you. It's because of the heat and because they had already been buried for 10 days in an actual grave.
Yeah. Literally. And it's the heat.
The heat.
Well, I guess when you're underground, it's not really mm-hmm. that hot.
Yeah.
But still, decomp.
Yes. There was another suspect in this case by the name of Feliz Rios Nunez, also age 38. All these names, mija.
Oh, my God.
I get confused.
Mexicans, mm-hmm. please stop with all these goddamn names. Please.
First and last name, that's all you need. That's it. Short and to the point.
And maybe like a short and sweet middle name like Lee.
Not even. Just first
and last. I do not have middle names.
Yeah, I don't agree with that shit. Even my fur babies, mijitos, they don't have middle names.
They don't.
First, last name.
That's it.
Short, sweet, and to the point. So Felice claims that he was sleeping on the opposite side of the house when he heard a gunshot coming from the west side of the home.
Oh my God.
Felice stated that after he heard a gunshot, he saw Michael struggling to get up off the floor. Then he saw Jose threatening Tina with the gun and fled the residence. That's okay. What Felice said.
Okay.
However.
Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Is Felice a guy or girl?
He's a motherfucker. Oh, okay. He's a guy.
Okay. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah. So, however, Jose tells his story a little different. Well.
Okay.
Jose claims that Felice was present at the time when he shot Michael.
Okay.
Jose stated that both him and Felice got high with a group of people, and then Felice helped transport the bodies. That's what Jose says. Just so we're clear, Jose wasn't an angel. He had no problem getting himself into trouble, if you will.
Like prior, before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, prior.
Prior times. Yes. Yeah, prior charges.
Yep, prior charges. So Jose has a lengthy violent criminal record and has been convicted of several violent crimes prior to this homicide.
Such as?
What type of violent crimes, you ask?
Yes, I do.
Back in 2008, Jose was charged with assault and disorderly conduct, pleading guilty to the lesser of the two charges.
I thought you were going to say assault and battery.
Assault and battery. Yeah, that's coming.
Okay.
Oh. In 2009, he was charged again with assault and disorderly conduct and fell and found guilty on both of those charges.
Oh, crap.
In 2010... he was charged with threatening and intimidation along with an aggravated DUI.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he? Oh, it doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Also, keep in mind that Jose lived in this resident with other family members. His dad actually owned the home.
So he didn't own the home. His dad did.
Correct. Where was everyone else that night?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
I was going to ask that right now. It's my next question. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yes. I have no idea.
Oh my God.
I know. So Jose claimed he killed the couple, cleaned his home to remove any trace of blood and to conceal any type of evidence.
Okay.
He then wrapped the bodies in a blanket and a tarp and buried them in his backyard a few feet away from his back door.
What? Like that close to your back door? Why would you do that?
He could keep an eye on me, huh?
They weren't going anywhere.
I know. Freaking 6 feet under, hell. On July 8th, 2015, Jose was indicted on two counts of first-degree murder by a grand jury.
Mija, was he a güerito? Was he güero?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember seeing his picture and I thought he was white.
Yeah, he kind of looks white. Does he? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. On July 17th, 2015, Jose pled not guilty, claiming self-defense. His bond was set at $2 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. On August 28, 2015, according to the autopsy and toxicology report, both Michael and Tina had meth and traces of alcohol in their system.
They did.
Mm-hmm. In addition to meth, Tina also had tranquilizers and sleeping pills in her system.
I remember reading that. So she was a pill popper too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do people function that way?
I know.
One time I took a muscle relaxer and I swear I felt like a freaking zombie. Like I felt like I could not move off the couch. Like I was just there like I swear I felt like I was just not there at all. How do people function that way?
I don't know. I mean, literally, like, I take melatonin and I am like out.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, so out. So but so yeah, so the family's comments, let's talk about those. According to family members, Jose was the hired electrician that was working on Mike and Tina's new home. That's all that they knew him by. Yeah. They never knew him. They the couple never discussed him like in a friendly or, you know.
Well, they had probably an image to maintain.
Absolutely. So Tina's brother described his younger sister as the youngest of five. The youngest of five. Oh my gosh. Okay, let me try this again. Hold on. Tina's brother described his younger sister as the youngest of five siblings. A very dedicated mother to her children. A pillar to a lot of families. What? Do you think I was going to say something else?
You said pillar, and I was just thinking a pill. I was like, a walking pill?
With
like
arms and legs? A muscle relaxer pill? That's
what I was thinking. I know it. A pillar of the what?
Of a pillar to a lot of families.
Oh, okay.
She had a unique sense of humor, and he was going to miss his sister's laugh and smile. Quote, aww, unquote, that would knock you out.
Aww.
That was really sweet.
That's gonna make me cry.
I know. That is so sad. I was like, oh. The Correggias family denied that either Mike or Tina abused drugs, specifically meth. The family also stated that regardless of what the toxicology proved, they will never, never believe Jose's story that the couple went to his house to purchase and use meth.
But why would he be calling him for?
Exactly.
Between that time.
Late at night, yeah.
So, oh my God, denial is so ugly. Like, you know, and some people hide it very well. I mean, you know, because they have to maintain an image and they have to, like, well, like, they were getting a house built. They had kids. I mean,
he was a pilot.
He was a pilot. On medical leave. Yeah, medical leave. So, I mean, it's just like, there's people, just because they're working doesn't mean that they're not drug addicts. Like, like, a lot of doctors and nurses are addicted to morphine, and no one talks about that.
Right.
And other medications, I'm sure, that they have to administer.
Yep.
So, it's crazy how people are drug addicts but still function.
Right. Exactly.
Like, look at Nikki Sixx. Who's a freaking heroin junkie.
Well, he's a rock star, so that's to be expected.
But, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, he still was able to maintain his rock star lifestyle. He was still able to write songs. He was still able to perform. He was still able to do that shit. Like,
but I think that comes along with the rock star lifestyle. People expect that, you know. I mean, not to be like that, it's lesser of a, he's lesser of a person, but I mean, just
people expect him to be like a junkie.
Absolutely.
But no, I understand that and I agree, but I'm just saying, like,
so that's easy to conceal for him because he's a star.
He doesn't have to conceal it.
Exactly. Because it's accepted.
Exactly.
It's accepted because of his profession. Right.
Yes, yeah. But so, yeah. But again, like, there's people that are addicted and they just still are able to function.
Right. Which there was a Facebook page. I didn't get the name of it, but when they went missing, that they made
it.
And a lot of people, they had put in there like, oh, you know, somebody had commented that they were using meth. And
did they get blocked?
I don't think so. But there was a lot of people on there, to your point, saying, and I didn't write it down, but, you know, saying that, because there was a lot of people saying, like, oh, come on, you know, he was a pilot. They do random UAs. I know pilots that, you know, they get random UAs like three to five times in 1 month because it's randomly.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a pilot. There's no way that they take that very serious. Alcohol is something else, but drugs, you know.
Even if you're drunk.
But there was other comments of people saying, like, meth only takes three to five days to go out of your system.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah.
Meth only takes, like, 3 days to get out of your system.
Yeah.
So, I don't know from personal experience, just from, like, you know, like, working with behavioral health people, like, in the behavioral health field.
Right.
We're taught that, like, you know, meth is out of your system within 3 days.
Right. And then there was another, you know, just several comments, but there was one, but I mean, lady that had commented about her son. And she said, you know, not everybody shows signs very fast. She said that her son, all fast. She said that her son had been a meth addict for a whole year and a half before he started actually looking like a meth addict. Mm-hmm. She said that he was able to maintain a job. He, you know, he went to work every day, was on time. He was a functioning addict. He went to work on time. That's what they're
called, functioning addicts.
He, you know, did everything. He would see his daughter or son, his child, on a regular basis, you know. But she said that she had no idea at all that her son was an addict, especially a meth addict. She said it took a year and a half for him to finally crumble, and to that's when she found out after a year and a half.
That was probably because he had already been so deep in, he couldn't maintain it anymore. But there's just people who are able to maintain it, you know. They're just they learn to conceal it so well.
So more of the family's comments. Family members thanked PCSO for their dedication and commitment to finding the suspect and solving the case so quickly.
Thank you, PCSO. Yes,
that was really good. They, the one of the family members specifically thanked the PCSO lieutenant at the time.
Oh, who was it?
Do you know? Tammy Villar.
Oh, thanks, Tammy Villar. Thank you, Tammy. Yes. Thank you for your service. She did a
wonderful job.
Thanks.
He's like, I really want to, and he specifically named her. She's the one that spearheaded the investigation, so that was really, really nice.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks for all your hard work and dedication.
Thank you.
And guiding your officers.
Absolutely.
Your officers to be on it.
Yep.
That's definitely awesome. Thank you so much.
The family also thanked every single volunteer that helped search for their loved ones in triple digit heat warning conditions.
Oh my God, it's so
awful. The family also wanted to thank the community support and the many, many condolences and thoughts and prayers that they received from the community of Maricopa.
I remember that. I thought, I could have swore that I thought that they found them in their backyard, though. I didn't know that they found them in
the killer's
Jose's backyard. I thought it was Tammy and Mike's backyard that they found him in. But it was Jose's backyard. Did he live in a subdivision, his dad?
No. It was like a home, but it had like land.
Okay, so maybe they were searching there, because I remember seeing it on the news.
Well, they were only, he only lived two blocks away from them.
But I remember them searching like in a backyard like yours. So that's what I was asking.
I think that
initially, we're looking at
That Thunderbird subdivision was right behind his property. So that's probably why you saw those houses. There was a subdivision. But it was not, it was like behind his property. Well, you know, his family's property. So let's go into the final sentencing. January 15th, 2016, the state filed a notice of intent to seek the death penalty. Jose was spared the death penalty because he accepted a plea deal with the prosecutors for the murders of Tina and Michael Correggio.
Was it Lando Voiles? Was he the prosecutor at that time? I think he was.
I don't know. I didn't get the prosecutor's name. But Jose pled guilty for first-degree murder for Tina's death. And second degree murder in Michael's death.
Wait, first degree in Tina's and second degree? Oh, because because he killed her with the intent, but with Michael, it was there was a no intent. There was just a scuffle.
Yes, there was a scuffle. Because I thought the same thing. I was like, why did they take his down to second degree? But it was
because of the scuffle. Like, so he was like, I didn't mean to kill him. I was just trying to get him away from me. But I didn't mean to kill her because she was basically a witness. That makes sense.
So Pinal County Superior Court Judge Christopher O'Neill gave Jose a life sentence without the possibility of parole for the first degree murder charge. And 25 years for the second degree murder charge. This is the maximum allowed under Arizona state law. Jose's attorney, Bobby Falduto, which I think is a female. So Bobby said her client was remorseful for his actions and he blamed the murders of his friends on his deep problems with substance abuse.
Okay.
And that's the end of the story. But let me give credits, my credits. Mm-hmm. I got my information from PinalCentral.com, which is the Casa Grande Dispatch.
Yes.
AZCentral in Maricopa.com. Mm-hmm. AZFamily.com, WTVBAM.com, and Heavy.com.
Oh, nice. You did a good job.
Yep.
That was a good case.
Yeah, it was a really good case. I was kind of worried, like I said, that I wasn't going to have enough information.
Yeah.
But it came out pretty nice. It was just kind of like filling in some of the blanks.
Yeah.
I was definitely happy to find where Jose stated, like, actually what he did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As far as, like, obviously he cleaned up his home.
Yeah.
Wrapped him up in
blankets and a tarp.
Right, right.
And so. It's hard with these local cases because it gets buried. Like,
yes.
The articles get buried. Like,
they do.
But when I say that, I mean, like, if you ever watched Spotlight, it's just like a tiny article. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just like a tiny article to, like, shut people up. Like, we wrote about this. So that's what I mean when I say it was buried by whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever news article at the time, but.
Exactly.
You know, it's really hard to do those cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, we experienced that with Ida. Like,
right.
You know, I think mom had a case suggested it to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't find anything.
I couldn't find nothing.
And I remember because I couldn't find anything and I made Mariah go and look and she found some stuff, but. Mm-hmm. And that was initially why I had went and, you know, contacted Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Amy Anderson. Like, I found stuff, but it wasn't what I was looking for.
Right.
So then I contacted her daughter, Kim. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then she was able to provide me with all the information that I received.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really hard with these local cases because, you know, like... Michael and Tina. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael worked for the United Airlines, so it was in the media.
Right.
There was media coverage for it.
Right, exactly.
But, like, with Amy Anderson, there was no media coverage.
Right.
With Ida Perez, there was no media coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's harder when there's not any media coverage
on
the murder or the disappearance. Like, it makes it that much harder.
It does. It does. And that's what they said because they received so much recognition from the media that it became like a nationwide search when they were missing, you know, and they did have news coverage on it. I think it was Channel 15 News and Fox 10 News. They had, you know, a couple of
tidbits on it.
On it. And then looking into it last night, I don't think it's available to hear anymore, but the Michael's son's 911 call.
Oh yeah,
was on there.
Would have been nice if
but I couldn't. Couldn't I couldn't. Find it. I couldn't play it.
Yeah,
it was on there, but it wouldn't play. So I was like, "What the hell?"
They probably took it down.
I think they did. So. I think they did. So I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's crazy," you know. But I mean, I know we said we weren't going to do local cases and stuff, and I try to keep out any additional like family members' names because they in some of the articles they did, give,
did mention
mention like first name basis kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, I just basically wanted to keep it about the victims, the perpetrator.
Yeah,
you know. So, but I mean, I know we said we weren't going to do local cases, but like I said, this was suggested a long time ago.
I mean, I think that we should, I think it's a good idea to pick and choose who we do. I mean, like, I know we had gotten a request for another Maricopa case, and I just explained to her, I was like, please make sure it's okay with everybody before we do it, because if not, I don't want to hear it.
Like, right.
And it's not that I don't... mean it that way, but I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to bring up old, you know, all these
Up old bones, basically. Up old bones and we've talked about it before, you know, like I understand that. I mean, which is how I felt from the beginning, you know, with that local case was I was like, you know, some families they don't want to relive.
They don't want the recognition.
Yeah, they don't want the recognition. They don't want to dig up old bones or,
which is sad because, I mean, like, you're bringing awareness to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
But you're bringing awareness. I mean, it's, I understand their position and why they don't want to remember it. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but mm-hmm. at the same time, like, there's so many people, like in Ida's case, mm-hmm. there's so many people that go through those are real life situations.
Right.
And I think that if you, like, just talking about it, it's kind of like, oh my God, I went through the same thing. Like, I thought mm-hmm. I was the only one. Like, if you right. ever talk to anybody in a domestic violence yeah. situation, that's exactly how they feel. Right. Like, I thought I was the only one.
Right. You raise awareness, you know. And some people, that helps them heal because yeah. they feel like their loved ones aren't going, they're not Name. Going down in vain or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're raising awareness. They're helping other people. But some people are not open like that.
Yeah. And they're very private.
They're very private, and that's okay. That's their right. Although this is public record and yeah. we do not need anybody's
consent. Yeah.
But, you know, still,
it's especially being respectful.
It is respectful to the family, you know, and you know, like I said, I try to leave any kind of information if I read anything like about other family members' names, because yeah. it's mainly about the victim.
Yes. Yeah. And right? that makes the victim. Sense. Yeah. So I just don't care. I'm like, yeah. that person's name and that person's
yeah.
name. And
you know, which is okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, but.
Well, I mean, I feel like, and the only reason I did that with Ida is because everybody's grown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not children anymore, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure that their children aren't grown anymore either, but mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, I understand your stance, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
I get it.
But, and yeah.
We did receive another, I think we received 3 local cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, the one I said we need to get confirmation
mm-hmm.
From everybody that they're okay with it. And then there was another one, I'm like, it hits too close to home.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, well, there was 2 of them that mm-hmm. hit too close to home.
Right.
I was like, and I don't want to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I, you know, no, I'm yeah. sorry, but there was 3. Sorry. So we've had 4 local, mm-hmm. 4 local cases. One, I explained to the lady, please make sure it's okay with everybody. And then the other 3,
mm-hmm.
they just hit too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And unless you and I have been reached out from that person directly or mm-hmm. like, we're not gonna.
Yeah, no. for sure.
We're not gonna do it.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. That was called Meth and Murder.
Meth and Murder.
In Maricopa.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Michael and Tina.
Yeah, regardless of whether they were drug addicts or not, that does not matter. Nobody deserves to be treated that way
exactly.
at all.
And that was another one of the comments on that Facebook page, regardless to what.
Yeah,
nobody deserves that kind of treatment.
That, yeah.
That Jose guy had no right to do that.
He didn't. You know? He really didn't. And regardless of, like, I learned a lot of people are like, well, I was on drugs or I was drunk. That's not an mm-hmm. excuse.
It's not.
Like, it's just
absolutely.
Not an excuse.
Yeah.
There's no reason to act like that.
There
you
is
know?
Not.
And, you know, we're not animals. We should be civilized.
Some right.
We should all be civilized, although some of us don't act like it. We
exactly.
should all act as
yeah
civilized people.
Yeah,
so unfortunately that's not always the case.
Exactly. Sorry, correction, I said meth and murder in Maricopa. It's murder and meth.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sorry.
Murder and meth in Maricopa.
Yeah, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. We appreciate all your support.
Yeah, thanks. We love it.
Anything else you want to add?
Please follow us on our social media accounts. Facebook is the Miranda Writes Podcast. IG, Instagram, or also known as IG, also known as Instagram, is the Miranda Writes _19. Twitter
mm-hmm.
is at @HEMIRNDA, R, GHTS. And then go subscribe to our website. I need to get on there. I haven't been on there in a while. It's been kind of hectic. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it's slowing down now. So yes. Our website is themirandawritespodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to our website. And also email us any case suggestions you may have. Mm-hmm. themirandawrites2019@gmail.com.
Right.
Please go rate and review us on Apple Podcast. Mm-hmm. Or whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Right.
If you leave a negative review, you have to pay $25 prior to leaving the review.
Absolutely. And or then, send us alcohol.
Yeah.
Preferably or send wine. Us
wine.
Sweet wine.
Preferably. And you can send it to. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Send it to this address. No. Yeah. And, did you see on Instagram? I was talking to some lady. She's from Ireland and she makes. These cute little, like, what are they called? Fuck, I can't remember. What's it called? Like, the little, fuck, what are they called? I can't remember.
I'm just staring at you like, what the fuck? Spit it out. No,
I can't think of it. I can't think of it. It's like, you know, when you sew letters onto, like, a round
thing. Like a crochet?
Like a crochet thing. Like, yeah, it's like a little round thing, and you, like... sew letters and stuff on it.
Yeah, I can't show like called. Show sew pictures and shit so, on there.
Yeah, like that. Yes, like that. So she said she was gonna listen to the podcast, and we had a doctor actually go and say something on our podcast.
What did he say? You bitches are crazy. Get off.
It was a girl. It was a girl.
Oh, what did she say? Sexual profiling over here. What did she say? Yes, queen.
So there was another person that it was a lady. She had said. I posted something and she said something about the Hunger Games. I was like, oh my God, such a good idea. Oh, like about by Jeffrey Epstein's island.
Oh, I saw that. Yes, yes.
And so the lady was like, yeah, like Hunger Games, only the pedophile games. Yes, I did see that. That was funny. That was a good comment. And then the doctor said something and I was like, oh, listen, you know, I told all of them to listen, review and whatever. But yeah.
Okay. So and then also we got a new idea. So with our case suggestions,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we have a box. We're calling it the murder box. Okay.
The murder box.
Yeah. And with our case suggestions, we're going to put them all in there and then draw, like, you know, draw a suggestion, right?
Yes.
Out of the murder box.
Yeah. So. It's called the murder box. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was cool.
So that'll be our new thing.
Yeah. And then I think we're going to have a guest speaker, two guest speakers. One said... she would love to be on our podcast. And the other one, I kind of just forced him into doing it.
Okay.
And I...
wonderful.
Kind of I need to force the Emmy back over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to be there, and I'm going to tell his wife, too, that she needs to bring him.
Yeah, and she can bring us wine.
Yeah. Just tell him that you're going to go for a ride. You're going to go something to eat and then bring him
here. Exactly.
So so yeah, and I think that's it.
Yep.
Thanks everybody.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Story. It was a really good story.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend.
Bye.